Hello, everybody. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock with you. It is draft week, officially. It's still a little weird. Next year, it's actually going to feel like draft week again, because the Browns will, at least to this point, they will have a first-round pick next year. Who knows? They could end up trading that for somebody next offseason, but we'll worry about that later. It is draft week, though, and we're going to get you ready for the draft when the Browns go on the clock Friday. We're going to do some predictions. I did three predictions for my newsletter that went to our Football Insider subscribers on Monday morning. So we're going to work off that. We're each going to throw out some predictions. And my first prediction is, this feels like a trade-up year to me for Andrew Berry and the Browns. I keep thinking about the Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah year where they traded up. I don't remember exactly how many picks that was. It wasn't a huge move up, but they had a guy they liked, and they went up and got him. And, you know, Andrew talked last week about how he sort of, you know, within about 10 picks is when you kind of know what the board looks like and what you might want to do. So there's always a chance they get within 10 picks, and he's like, nope, I don't want anything, I'm out. I feel, though, Mary Kay, like this could be a prime year for a trade-up. If there's, like, the right wide receiver there or the right defensive tackle or defensive end, I just feel like that right player is going to be there, and they maybe move up 3-4 spots. Again, I don't think it's going to be some extreme trade-up. They're not going to move into the first round, but I could see them moving up somewhere in the neighborhood of, let's say, 4-10 spots to go get a guy. We haven't seen Andrew do that since the JOK move, at least with, you know, higher draft picks. But I don't know. There's just something bugging me this week. It feels like a trade up here.
Well, just curious, when you're thinking about that move up, it wouldn't take too much draft capital to move up 3 or 4 spots. But if they were to try to go up much more than that, they're going to have to give up something fairly significant. So I'm curious, without a fourth round pick this year, what do you think they would be able to give up in order to move up 4-10 spots?
Yeah, that's a good point. But let me see. I got to pull up the picks that they have this year. So they obviously could use their third if they wanted to do that. Hold on, let me find their draft picks here. So they obviously have their third at number 85. And they could maybe use one of their sixes, right? They have 2 sixes right now, and they also have 2 sevens. Now, that might not be enough, but if you're moving up a few spots, I bet you could do it with, like, just your third. Maybe you swap thirds. Maybe you move back a little bit in the third round as well. So I think it would probably start with something like that. So they give up their third, and they acquire, like, an early fourth, something like that. So that's kind of where I would start.
Now, you might be looking at an old draft pick list.
Am I off one?
I think you might. I mean, they don't have 2 sixths anymore because one of those.
Oh, right.
One of those went in the Jerry Jeudy trade.
Well, then they can use the one that they have.
And one of their sevenths went in the Jerry Jeudy trade, but then they also got a seventh back. So they do still have 2 sevenths. I know you hate those seventh round picks. We all
hate
the seventh round
picks.
So I think we would be all for, I mean, why not? Let's just get rid of the sixth, both sevens, and call it a day.
Okay, so I have the right list. So I would say you move back from 85.
Okay.
And that might involve moving like early fourth round, but you move back from 85. So kind of a swap of third rounders. Now, I don't know who all is, you know, picking behind them, but you kind of move back a little bit off of 85. Like I said, maybe that's adding a fourth rounder. They don't have a fourth rounder right now. And then, yeah, maybe you throw in pick 206 or something like that. And then you can maybe use one of those sevens to move up. I think they can do enough maneuvering where they could trade up and still have the draft capital that they want.
Well, I do think, real quick, that there will be some opportunities to grab one of the players that they really like a little higher than 54. And if they see that their guy that they really like is about to go, then I could see them pulling the trigger and making a trade up, because they need to come out with something pretty good at 54 or with their second round pick. So if they start to come off the board, and I think if you're looking at receivers per se, if they start to fly off the board, you don't want to have the music stop and you don't have a chair. So I think that there is a pretty good chance that they will consider, at least consider moving up once they get 10 picks out.
Yeah, Ashley, what do you think? I mean, I guess I would ask you this too, Mary Kay. Well, Ashley, I'll start with you. Do you think it's more likely there's a trade up or a trade back here with that second round pick?
Mary Kay and I believe, talked about this the week you were off, Dan. And I think I agree with her thinking at the time that it's less for me about Andrew Berry going into that draft with a plan and saying, I'm definitely looking to trade up and here's why, or I'm definitely looking to part ways with pick 54 and here's why. I really think a lot of it's going to be determined by obviously what goes down Thursday night in the first round and what happens in those late 30 picks, early 40 picks before they make a decision, because we've seen how they operate before these last 2 years without a first round pick. I think so much of it is predicated upon the value that they've given to these individual players. You know, in 2022, their second round pick, they traded down the day of because they looked around in the second round and said, there's no one that we are really gung-ho about at this pick. We don't think the value is there. We're going to trade back. We're going to get a couple more things. And Martin Emerson Jr. is there in the third round, and that's a guy who they thought had a ton of value in the third round. So I just think there's so much up in the air that it's hard for me to guess. Like, I think they'll trade up if there's this guy in the 40s or whatever, in the slightly earlier in the 50s, that they really, really like for where he is. But I think 100% it depends on what happens ahead of them in the draft, which is why it makes it so hard to guess about what they might do with these trades, I think.
So I looked it up here just to kind of refresh my memory, what they gave up. So they were 59th when they moved up to get Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. So they were 59th. They gave that up. They gave up a third round pick, which was number 89, and added a fourth round pick, number 113. So that's kind of similar to the deal that we're looking up here. And they moved up to number 52. So that's about seven spots. So Mary Kay, that's kind of similar to the framework that I put out there. And it, you know, next year is the year when they have the sixth round picks, by the way. That they have 3 6th round picks as it stands right now next season. So they could even dip into one of those sixths if they wanted to next year to move up, as opposed to the sixth round pick that I still had them with this year. Now we're going to move into next year. But do you think it would be more likely for them to move up or move back with that pick?
It's a great question, because I think it will all be dictated, like Ashley said, on what is going on once the board gets to 44. If you get to 44 and you see that your guy or one of your guys, or you're looking up there and you've got a group of 10 guys that you would love to have, then I think you can afford to move back a little bit and pick up an extra selection. And if you can somehow end up with a fourth round pick in this draft, I think they would probably like that. Usually you can still find somebody in the fourth round that you expect to get something out of. You expect that they're going to do something for you. They might not be a starter, but they're someone that you can count on to play special teams or return kick, whatever. Someone that can contribute in a rotation or something like that. So I think they probably would like to have a fourth rounder and not have that big gap between picks where they go from 85 to, I think it's 156. So I think they wouldn't mind doing that if they could. So I think I'm going to say that they would be more likely to trade back right now, but I think it could go either way. I think it could go any way. I think it could go trade up, stay put, trade back.
And we have seen, Ashley, the last few years where Andrew has really kind of maneuvered things around so he could have a little bit of a stockpile in the fourth round or the fifth round. You know, the year they took Cade York, they kind of set all that up, in the Perrion Winfrey draft. You know, last year they had fifth rounders and they ended up taking DTR and then Cam Mitchell like two picks apart. So he does kind of like that range of the draft. So I'm arguing against myself here and I don't know why. But I do think that would be the argument for him trading back, is that just huge gap that Mary Kay mentioned between picks where they go, 85 on Friday night, and then they wouldn't pick again until 21 picks into the fifth round.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that gap myself, honestly, every time I look at the draft. But then when I do our little mock drafts that we've been doing, Dan, when you run that simulator, I'm always like, oh, yeah, I have to click into the fifth round on the PFF simulator because it doesn't run at the fourth round for the Browns this year. I do think that I just keep thinking about the 2022 draft in that context and trading back the way they did when they saw how things were falling and doing exactly that, getting those picks that allow them to take Perrion, Cade York, go after those guys that they were kind of searching for to add some what they thought or hoped at the time would be depth and consistency. Of course, it didn't work out like that with either player over the last 2 years here. But I do think that because of the nature of drafting in those mid to late rounds, from how we've heard Andrew talk about the draft in the past and their strategy, and even last week, it's almost just like getting more swings at the plate could be seen as really valuable there, I think, unless there's somebody they really like and they want to trade up. But that is a long gap to go without a pick. And they have found some guys in those rounds last couple of years that they have used and that they really like and think that they can get something out of. I mean, DeJuan Jones was a fourth rounder last year, right? There could be some good things that you find around that time in the draft.
All right, you guys kind of talked me out of it, but I'm standing by it.
We didn't mean to.
You'll be right. You'll probably be right.
Oh, don't worry. If I am, you'll know about it.
Oh, yeah. You'll take the big victory lap. Wear your tennis shoes. Your running shoes, Dan. You're going to be taking a victory lap.
All right, Mary Kay, why don't you make a prediction here that you can take a victory lap on this weekend?
Okay. I don't think this is a big deal at all, really. And I don't think I'm going to have to take a big, huge victory lap, like around the whole building or anything like that. Maybe just around the chairs in the media room, if I get this one right. But I think that I could actually see them drafting a quarterback again. And they have had one in that is very intriguing, and that is Joe Milton from Tennessee. Big, huge guy in the mold of a Cam Newton, in the mold of a Josh Allen, a player that Ken Dorsey has coached guys of that size and with a big, huge arm, the way that Joe Milton has a big arm. He's a dual threat quarterback. He's an interesting prospect. And with Dorian Thompson-Robinson still struggling with his hip injury, I think they need another guy. I actually really think they need another guy that they can rely on now. And why is that? Not only is Dorian Thompson-Robinson coming off of a hip injury, but we know that Deshaun Watson's surgeon wants him to be conservative in the offseason program. How is that going to work out? I don't know. I wrote in my takeaways on Sunday that the Browns and Deshaun and his whole camp and the Browns' whole camp, they've all got to be on the same page here with what they're doing. Are they going conservative? Are they going to air it out a little bit? We don't know how that's going to work out yet. But as of right now, the only two really healthy quarterbacks that they have are Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley. And we know that they're going down to the Greenbrier for 10 days. And chances are those two guys are still going to be the only 100% healthy quarterbacks at that time. Now, when you look back to this time last year, they had four. They had four healthy quarterbacks that they were dealing with. And all of those quarterbacks got reps. So I think they need another arm, and I think they could use a developmental quarterback. Now, Joe Milton is raw, and some people don't necessarily think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. Other people think that he might be really good. So I'm going to go Joe, and we'll see how it goes. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
So they do need arms, right? Especially if DTR isn't going to be ready. Like, I think people, you know, when they signed Tyler Huntley, there was this big, like, dust up over, oh my God, four quarterbacks. What? I can't believe they have four quarterbacks. It's pretty normal for them. And especially, you know, being around Kevin, we know how he approaches the preseason. He's not going to play his starter a whole lot. And he's not going to play his backup a whole lot if that backup is set. Those guys are going to get minimal preseason reps. And so you need guys to actually be able to play those games. And so if Dorian Thompson-Robinson isn't ready, he's got to have somebody else available there. And I do wonder, Ashley, like, Could that be some of the thinking behind adding that extra seventh round pick? Could that be something that Andrew has in the back of his mind that when you get towards the end of the seventh round, if you don't want to wade into the competition to sign these guys, and look, if I'm a young quarterback, I don't know if I want to sign a place that seems pretty set at quarterback ahead of me. I don't know. Maybe you just grab him in the seventh round.
Yeah, maybe. I really am very curious. Mary Kay's reasoning for this, I think, makes total sense, quite honestly. And yes, for all this kerfuffle about four quarterbacks on the roster and everyone being like, oh my gosh, that must mean Deshaun's not going to be ready, or like taking all these jumps in assuming what that might mean. We've seen them do this before, but yes, I'm fascinated. When the Joe Milton top 30 visit came out, I at first kind of laughed because I covered Joe Milton at Michigan, which was his first college stop. So Joe Milton's also older. I think his first year in college was 2018. And people have talked about Joe Milton the same way for the last 6 years. I pulled up a story I wrote in 2020 talking about the Joe Milton era at Michigan was officially here. And he's got this amazing arm strength, and their offensive coordinator at the time talking about he was throwing 70 yards. I know when the news broke that he had a top 30 visit here, I quote tweeted it with a joke about it's time is a flat circle, like they say in True Detective, because that's how people have always talked about Joe Milton. I'm one of the people who I don't think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback, because I think if he was, we would know that by now because of how old he is. But this quite literally might be the best possible job for him. So I like this theory. I think they don't want to be shorthanded with in terms of arms. And the one thing Joe Milton is really good at is having a really great arm. So this might be a best of both worlds situation. And maybe that's why they brought him in for a visit. And if he ends up coming here now, I don't know that I would be that surprised if they end up taking him or another quarterback because of the injuries.
That was on my list of questions. I was trying to do the math in my head. If you would have covered Joe Milton at Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mary Kay, that just guarantees that Joe Milton is going to end up as a Cleveland Brown then.
There you go. Now you have it. Yeah, I just think that it makes too much sense. Now, having said that, they could probably sign a quarterback in free agency once the draft is over. They might be able to get an undrafted QB. But it seems like there's something about Joe where if he's still around in the sixth or seventh round, that he might make some sense for them.
I mean, I think too, obviously, look, anytime you draft a quarterback, it's a big deal, right? Everybody loves the idea of drafting a quarterback. But sort of like DTR last year, you're not drafting a guy that's going to be your starting quarterback anytime soon. And if he is, then something has gone horribly wrong. I mean, this team's quarterback room is set. It's Deshaun Watson. It's Jameis Winston. You know, behind that, I guess we'll see. I'd imagine that Dorian is still, you know, a guy that they want to develop, but Tyler Huntley's there too. But I mean, let's be honest, this isn't a situation. Even last year when they drafted DTR, Ashley, they weren't drafting him to be a starting quarterback. He was coming here to develop into being a backup.
Yeah, even last year we were like, if Dorian Thompson Robinson is starting games besides a meaningless week 18 game in Cincinnati, they have much bigger problems. And it turns out they ended up having much bigger problems, and he clearly was not ready. But I think they're, you know, we've talked so much about that. This is the I guess the honorary Joshua Dobbs mentioned in that trade, since we love to talk about that so much. But yeah, I think for Cleveland fans, and you kind of got a taste of this last year. It was the drafting of DTR. It's totally different than all the years the Browns had the number one pick or close to it and were trying to find their franchise guy. You are drafting based on, I think, traits a lot of the time, based on how they'll fit in the room, based on how they'll fit in the current system, all these other factors, because you don't need that game-changing player for your offense. So with that, I think there just becomes more variety. I mean, we know how hard it is to judge quarterbacks, and it's not just the Browns that have fumbled a few of their draft selections over the last 2 to 3 decades at the position. It's pretty common. It still is a difficult position, I think, to evaluate. That's why the position is so important too. So I think it just kind of opens things up a little bit when you're looking to add depth to that room as opposed to getting a new starter.
Okay, so we have the Browns trading up. I have the Browns trading up. Mary Kay has the Browns taking a quarterback. Ashley, what's your prediction for this weekend?
You just can't convince me that they're going to make both of those seventh round picks right now. You just can't. I know we kind of talked about this already, but Andrew Berry, we talked about this off mic, why we think maybe they don't particularly like picking in the seventh round. It's our little in-house theories that we have amongst ourselves. But I do think there is a reason they got that second seventh rounder that they got last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. I mean, I did ask Andrew Berry about it in his press conference, his pre-draft press conference on Thursday, because he's joked before about how he hasn't made a ton of picks in the seventh round. Is Isaiah Thomas still the only seventh round pick he's made, Dan? Do you know off the top of your head?
I looked this up recently, and I can't. Michael Woods.
Michael Woods. Those were the two.
Right? Woods was a seventh rounder, wasn't he?
Was he a seventh rounder or not a sixth rounder? But that was still, I mean, 2022 is the only time we've seen him make that seventh round pick at all. And I did think, again, it was funny. This was one of our bingo board squares, except we had it for the second round pick. He kind of left all options open. And I mean, he did mention they could use it as part of a trade up. They could use it as part of a trade back. They could use it to acquire a veteran player. He listed off every possible scenario. And he did mention, well, we could also make two selections. But I just don't think that, for me, that is how Andrew Berry has found value in the seventh round for the most part. It typically is used in a trade of some kind. So maybe we're back to your original point, Dan. I don't necessarily think it has to be used for a trade up in this year's draft, but I wouldn't be surprised if we get to that last seventh round pick and he trades it away for something in next year's draft and that pick gets traded away for a veteran player later on. I mean, we've seen him do things like this before. I think it is what he's good at, and I just think he doesn't find a ton of value in the seventh round, and that's fine. It is harder to hit on those guys.
Okay, so Michael Woods was the sixth. He has made another seventh-round pick, though, besides Isaiah Thomas. And I would be blown away if either of you could remember this, because I had forgotten this name, and I had when I saw it when I wrote the story about the trade with the Titans. I don't think either of you could pull this name.
The center?
Name up. Oh my gosh, Mary Kay, you're so close. But can you remember the name?
What year
was
it? Yes.
It's got some D's in it.
Let's see.
Dawson Deaton.
Dawson Deaton.
There you go.
Dawson Deaton.
Now,
clicked in my head. I forgot about him.
This is interesting. Andrew actually made two seventh round picks that year.
And then what did he do the year after? He traded it away. Exactly. And I mean, look at that. I mean, Dawson Deaton, you know, he obviously got hurt. He tore his ACL. That was unfortunate. He was going to add some depth, I think, to the line for them. And Isaiah Thomas was on the practice squad all of last year. So I wonder if that was like a learning lesson for Andrew Berry, potentially, right? Like maybe he's just like, we haven't really played these guys. So what's the point? Let's see what we can get for them a different way here.
Are you impressed? I remembered that. Dan.
I am. And the way you got to it, was it the center? There were D's in the name. It was, Dawson Deaton. Who will ever forget the
illustrious
career?
I knew it was a Dawson. I couldn't remember if the last name or the first name. I was there. I was almost there with the name.
I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Like one of our theories was, you know, if you draft a guy, you've got to sign him to a 4-year contract. I don't know if the money is that different. I don't know what kind of impact that would have on if you'd want to take a guy, draft a guy, or sign him as an undrafted free agent, Mary Kay. But I know all of us were a little bit distressed when Andrew added another seventh round pick, because it just makes our lives a little bit harder on that Saturday night when you've got to wait for those two seventh round picks. But I don't know. Do you expect that he'll make them both again?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think he'll try to do something. I think maybe he'll try to package them and move up a little bit. Sometimes people do want to take a couple of extra swings at the plate, even in the seventh round, if they'd rather not wait and let a guy get to free agency and have to try to sign him that way. So I think he'll try to do something with at least one of those picks or package them and try to scoot up a little bit.
Okay, I'm going to give you my other two predictions here that I sent out in the newsletter. One of them is I feel like there's a tight end, and again, some of it's going to depend on who's available and where they're picking. I don't think he's going to be aggressive moving up to take a tight end and I shouldn't say moving up. I don't think he's going to take a tight end just because a tight end is there necessarily. Some of them are a little bit older. So we'll see if he kind of sticks with with those guardrails. He has gone outside of that age range a little bit recently. But I still feel like tight end is one area where there's room for somebody. It's Jordan Akins, it's Giovanni Ricci, it's Zaire Mitchell-Payton. So, you know, behind David Njoku, I think there's a spot for a guy potentially. And then my other one was the 7th round pick. So we're all on the same page. We are going to speak this into existence. But Mary Kay, I mean, when you look at needs, do you consider tight end behind David Njoku a need, or do you think they could be happy with what they have?
I think they can get by with what they have, but I don't see anything wrong whatsoever with them trying to draft a tight end. And I would not be surprised whatsoever if they do so. Right now, again, as you mentioned, they have David and then the rest, kind of. So I do think that there is a chance that they would like to draft a good developmental tight end. I mean, when you think about it, David is also starting to get up there in football years now. So I think it is time to start planning for the future, and I would probably be looking for a good one.
And Ashley, Ken Dorsey, you know, yeah, the offense is going to be more open, but Buffalo drafted a tight end last year. Obviously, it was a higher draft pick than what the Browns are going to have, but he has a use for two tight ends. And I still think we're going to see two tight end sets, and we're going to see them use some big personnel, even if it's less than maybe what we've seen in the Kevin Stefanski era so far.
Yeah, I do too. And I remember, I don't have the stats in front of me because these were things I was looking up, I think, 2 years ago now. But I remember in Houston, Deshaun did well with throwing touchdowns to tight ends in 12 personnel. He did really well with that. So I'm curious. Obviously, I think we have seen how him and David Njoku work well together. But I just keep thinking if David Njoku gets hurt, that room is kind of, it would seem on the surface level, in trouble. They don't have Harrison Bryant there anymore to fall back on. Jordan Akins and Deshaun Watson have a years-long relationship at this point since they played together with the Texans. But he didn't do a ton last year, and he's getting older too. So there's just not much there. It definitely, in terms of depth, seems like a thinner position than it might look on the surface if you're just reading a depth chart and see the number of names. So, yeah, I would personally like to see them add here, but typical with them, I don't think they should add just to add. It should be somebody they actually like and think will fit in the system.
All right, it's draft week. Once again here for the Cleveland Browns, no first-round pick. But we're going to cover it like we always do here at Cleveland.com and on this podcast. So just make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and that you're a Football Insider subscriber, Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. We're going to have our first round mock coming up a little bit later this week. And of course, we're going to have reaction pods after every day of the draft. So just make sure, like I said, that you're subscribed everywhere where you can get subscribed to this pod. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.